We saw a lot of improvement, but the one thing that got worse was the record. They fall from 0-5 to 0-6, first time that has happened since 1976. Your assessment?
Yeah, and look, the Giants are what they are. They're 0-6 right now, and you can't really look at the totality of the season, but just looking at this game, they fought hard, they ran the ball better, did a lot of things better, but one thing that has plagued this team, guys, all season is the turnovers. It's hard to convert from turnovers, it's hard to bounce back from that. The percentage of another team winning when you turn the ball over three times is tremendous.
Well, especially on the road, and Roman, you and I played enough football to know that right. When you go on the road and you turn the ball over, especially in the fourth quarter, this is Eli Manning's eighth fourth quarter turnover. Obviously, that last one wasn't on him. Myers has got to catch the football. This puts the Giants in a world of hurt. This game, they had to win this game to, let's just say, if they had a chance in this weak division, I think it's over now.
Yeah, well, now it looks like they're playing for nothing but Fry. What do you say we go, though, right to Soldier Field in Chicago, where our other colleague, Howard Cross, is standing by. Howard, we're talking about the interceptions. You were standing there down low. You tell us, in particular, the first two, what did it look like to you?
Well, you know, guys, early in the game when we got the interceptions, it looked like there was a miscommunication between the receiver and the quarterback. The cornerback squatting on the outside. The receiver's going deep. The quarterback's on the out pattern. I'm not sure what the communication is supposed to be, but I know one thing. When a quarterback's looking at a coverage, he's looking at a specific thing, and the receiver has to see the same thing the quarterback is seeing. They did it a couple times, two mistakes early in the game. One of those was for a pick six. That pick six for a touchdown is the difference in the game.
Howard, we saw a more physical Giants team offensively, especially on the line. We saw a run by Bear Pascal that we'll probably see later on in the telecast. Talk about what you saw from the sidelines as far as the mindset that this team had going into this game on a short week.
What they came out with was, you know, David Wilson's not able to play. Now they need to come to Brandon Jacobs. Brandon Jacobs is a down-the-hill runner. With that kind of mentality, that gives the offensive line a little more confidence knowing that you're going to be running down the hill. You get to stay on your blocks. You got a big back running behind you. Once he takes the edge, he's going to get 3 or 4 yards just because he's leaning forward. That was a good thing for him, and it helped him out a lot. They could have stayed with it a little more, but, you know, who's calling plays?
Howard, I thought the defense did a nice job, especially in the third and the fourth quarter, stopping that Bears offense for two drives. And the third one, that defensive line continues to struggle to get pressure on Jay Cutler today. You give a guy like that all the time in the world. Look what happens with Brandon Marshall today. What's going on with that defensive line, and what was stopping them from getting pressure on Jay Cutler tonight?
I have no earthly idea. I saw plays where they call blitzes. The linebacker's supposed to come inside. If he's supposed to chip the tackle to go so the defensive end can get off, if the hole opens up, don't chip the tackle. Go sack the quarterback. I saw a couple of those. You got to fight. You got to fight like someone trying to hold you underwater. You got to fight like you're trying to breathe. If you don't, I don't know how to explain it, but you just got to continue to fight to get there. They're not hitting him. They're not sacking him. They're not even knocking him down. He's uncomfortable, but he's not being hit.
All right, Howard, thanks very much. We will talk to you next week. Howard Cross in Chicago. Tough. Listen, bottom line is, as you say, it's 0-6, and they are in a world of hurt right now. Speaking of hurt, we know that the head coach, Tom Coughlin, is hurt. We're going to be having him coming up along with Eli Manning and more player reaction from the rest of the Big Blue. Bottom line is, they are feeling black and blue right now. 27-21, Chicago Bears was your final. Again, Giants fall to 0-6 for the first time since 1976. You're watching Giants Post Game Live here on My 9. Stay right where you are. Welcome back to Giants Post Game Live here on My 9. I'm Russ Salzberg, again joined by my colleagues Roman Oben and Jeff Eagles. And guys, one of the real bright spots of the night had to be the play of Brandon Jacobs. 22 carries, 106 yards of a 4.8 average. But he also ran with a lot of conviction and courage, and people wanted to get out of his way. He was running with bad intentions, if you will.
Well, you know, Brandon Jacobs knew he was going to get the load of the carries tonight. He took this upon himself to come out and just run. He was a beast today. He ran for over 100 yards, the first 100-yard rusher for the Giants this year. He comes out here, scores two touchdowns, a Giant all-time leading touchdown maker. Just ran with authority and tried to take this win and put it on his shoulders. You look at him here running into the end zone. That's just power. And they kept feeding him. And what happens when you can have a running game, you can set up the passing game by play action pass. That worked very well for the Giants today. Unfortunately, you know, it wasn't enough.
Yeah, and I mean, when Brandon Jacobs was brought to this team in week two, guys, I mean, there was a physicality in this running game that was missing. And speaking to Gerald Ingram, running backs coach for the Giants in training camp, Brandon Jacobs came and visited the game in training camp and watched practice. He wanted to be back. He wanted to be in that locker room, you know, what was desperately missing and needed. And that physicality, and the announcer said on television, that was a page from the old Brandon Jacobs, 2006, 2007. And that's what this team needed. And you alluded to this. This enabled this team to just have a chance to win today and gave this offense the balance that they needed to really have a chance to win this game in the end.
Howard Cross brought up a good point when we were talking to him just moments ago. That the offensive line, which I thought showed improvement tonight, especially opened up some gaps, it was easier for them knowing that they have a straight-ahead runner as opposed to somebody like David Wilson who's, you know, going to zigzag and what. And listen, I don't know if that did help, but it certainly appeared that way because they were opening up the holes and Brandon was running through them.
Well, one thing that's very consistent in this Kevin Gilbride offense, the plays don't change. Whether it was Brandon Jacobs, Bradshaw, or Dave Wilson, the plays are still the same. It's just the style of back. And Brandon Jacobs had some runs. It was really those second chance runs where the yards after contact. I mean, the longest of 16, his longest run was 16 yards. That 4.8 yards, he earned every single carry.
Absolutely.
And a lot of those defenders in the Chicago Bears felt it as well.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but you being the offensive lineman of the group here, you like to run block better than pass block. Those linemen, they get in a groove. They got in a groove today. They were able to come up and open some holes up for Brandon Jacobs. And you know, if you're an offensive lineman and you're down in the trenches, you have to set the tone of the game up front, and that sets the tone for the running backs behind, and that's what Brandon Jacobs was doing all night tonight.
Even on a short pass, he was just running with power, and he had himself a great game. But we're going to go right now to hear what head coach Tom Coughlin has to say from Chicago.
Well, we played hard, we fought, we did a lot of good things, we didn't do enough. The last drive would have been sensational to put that ball in the end zone. I think we would have run the time right down to nothing. Probably wouldn't have been much left. We obviously put four quarters together. Didn't win the game, so there's no solace in doing reasonably well but losing. But I do think that one of the goals we had was to try to play four solid quarters of championship quality football, and I think we played hard. We played four good solid quarters, and we, you know, to lose the game with under the circumstances that we did, with a nice drive going, very, very, very disappointing. Locker room's very disappointing. Guys are frustrated, very frustrated, naturally. But they will stay together. They'll support one another, fight for each other, and prepare ourselves to try to win the next game.
Tom, is it just a misfire from the last interception, the ball sailed?
You saw what I saw. You know, I haven't talked to anybody about it. It did touch his hands, and it was a high ball, but it did touch his hands.
Coach, on the first two interceptions, it looked like Eli and Ruben were maybe not on the same channel there. Is that what you...
Well, on the one, for sure. One read it one way and the other read it the other way. But on that one, I don't think the other one was.
A poor throw, you think, or was it more?
I'd have to see it, but it was a spot. You know, people were put in different spots, and obviously as the throw went, one of the defenders was right where the spot was.
Tom, in his career, Eli has taken you back down the field in similar situations so many times. As you're standing there on the sidelines watching it unfold, did you think it was going to happen again?
Oh, absolutely. I'm fully confident. Same thing that we said in Dallas when it was 30-24. We had the ball in the middle of the field. I'm very, very confident that we're going to go score and win the game.
Tom,
and I'll continue to be.
Tom, did you get more than you expected out of Brandon Jacobs today?
Well, we got a good football game out of him. You know, he ran hard, and obviously he's a very difficult guy to contend with, and pushed a pile in the end zone a couple of times tonight, but played well.
Tom, when you have a young quarterback who's turning the ball over, you might handle it one way. What do you do when the quarterback in his eighth or ninth year?
Well, you continue to support him, to point out the issues, to try to understand how it happens so that it doesn't happen again. You coach him. You know, you coach him just like you coach anybody who's had some issues. And, you know, he's trying as hard as he can to stay away from the interceptions as well. But, you know, I mean, you're not going to go back to not throwing the football. I mean, that's not something that's going to happen. He's been too successful for so many years throwing the ball. Now, do we want to throw it for an exceeding number? Of course not. And so that's the one thing we tried to do tonight, was try to balance and have some run game, thinking we probably could get some play action off of that. You know, we had some run, but we still had some issues. And so we got to continue to work with the receivers and the quarterbacks and the protection and all of those things, trying to eliminate all that stuff.
Tom, you have some time now before your next game. Does that afford you any opportunity to make some changes?
What changes would you want to make? I don't see it. I'll look at everything, evaluate everything.
What happened to Darrell Scott
being
there?
A hamstring.
Anything else? 0-6 is uncharted territory for almost everybody in there. What is the challenge you face
with both of them? Hey, you got to go back to work. You got to bust your tail. You got to put everything you can into preparation and, you know, try to go win a game just like you do under any normal circumstance. It's a little tougher, obviously, the first day of the week when the players are down and low. But this group comes back up, and, you know, we're all sick of it. We're all sick of the losing, but... you know, we put ourselves in this position, and there's only one way to get out of it. Nobody's going to hand you anything. So we keep striving to improve in the areas we need to improve and to come up with ways in which we can be better and put ourselves in position to win. I thought we put ourselves in that position tonight. It didn't happen, but we were there.
Okay. All right, Eli will be in here when he's...
I'm going down the stairs.
I'll do that.
All right, well, I think Tom Coughlin really, you know, summed it up. There was a lot of improvement. The guys played hard, but it wasn't good enough. And really, they were in position to win the game. Brandon Myers, you got to catch that ball. This is the National Football League. It's not high school. It's not the Little Sisters of the Poor. You got to make those plays.
Well, they definitely, 2 weeks in a row now, they had a position to win the football game going into the fourth quarter. Tonight, they looked a lot better going into the fourth quarter. And, of course, that interception at the end of the game just completely ruined their season. But as far as improvement, some things that Tom talked about, that's all they're going to try to do is improve at 0-6. That's all you can do. And they did improve tonight. They got the running game going. They got their third down conversions fixed up a little bit. So we did see the little pieces of improvement. But that's all you can hang your hat on, guys, really, when you're 0-6. That's, you have to look at what you did good and then go on to the next one.
One thing, I mean, Coach Coughlin always says that he's always very honest during his press conferences.
Yeah.
And one thing he did say is there's no solace in losing, or there's no moral victory. So my issue today, I think, was watching Jay Cutler really dissect this defense with these precision passes. I mean, only putting them where the receivers of the Bears could catch him, and you just didn't get a lot of pass rush. I mean, you saw improvement in the running game. You saw a chance to win. You saw receivers making big plays, with the exception of that last play. But you just didn't give the other quarterback, Jay Cutler, any pressure to enable him to be uncomfortable in the pocket.
And quarterbacks have been making big games, killing the Giants all season long. All right, once again, the final from Chicago, 27-21. The Bears, Giants fall to 0-6 again. That's the first time they've been 0-6 since back in 1976. You are watching Giants Post Game Live here on My9. A lot more to come, so stay right where you are.
Just threw a little too high, and had a guy open, and felt that it came out like I wanted it to. Just obviously threw it a little too high, and had a guy open, and unfortunate. Feel like we're about to go drive and win a game, and I make a mistake.
Eli, I know you've gone through rough stretches before, but how frustrating is this getting?
It's frustrating not winning, and it's frustrating not feel like I'm not doing my part to give this team some wins and some chances. And so, that's a frustrating part. I feel like our guys are fighting hard, and guys are doing their parts, and I need to start doing mine.
Eli, between the early interceptions of the last night, you have the 37-yard touchdown Randall, you feel like the offense was starting to click?
We were doing some good things, and obviously, got off to a terrible start, but, fought back and went down, scored a touchdown after the interception for a touchdown, kind of even the game up, and, second quarter, got another drive, and then when we, got down 13 points, we responded well, got the game within six, and so obviously there were some good things, and we kind of made some things happen, scrambling around a little bit, buying time and getting guys open. Guys made plays, and felt confident we could go down there and have a good drive and go win that game.
Were there any linebackers underneath on that last play?
No, it was zone, and so you got to throw. You don't want the linebacker to make a play. You can't float it too much because the corner is going to try to midline it, and he's going to come over the top and try to make a play if you throw it too high. So try to throw it high, but put something on it. But obviously just threw it too high.
You have not been in the position of saying that you're not doing your part.
It's difficult. Just not on me. I feel bad for my teammates. I feel bad for my coaches and everybody. Fighting every day, and I'm fighting too. I'm trying to get a win for these guys. But it's tough. It's definitely tough at times when you're not you don't feel like you're playing your best.
You have a long history of completing drives like that at the end of the game. When it doesn't happen, how stunning is it to
you? Yeah, feel like we've been very good in the fourth quarter over the years, and we'd be able to respond. And when we play these type of games where you get down a little bit, but you fight back and you get in the fourth quarter and you make those drives and you go win the game. I thought we guys did their spot, did their jobs, and we got down there and we made plays and had some third down conversions and did some good things and saw the coverage, everybody did the right thing, and just obviously you throw a ball 6 inches too high and that's the difference in between possibly winning the game and a loss.
Have you said anything to your teammates, or have they said anything to you in terms of?
No, they've been supportive, and they've been I think they know that and hope I'm gonna bounce out of it, or I'm gonna make the plays, I'm gonna do the things I need to do. So I told them I'm gonna get better these last weeks, and I'm gonna keep I'm gonna start making the plays I need to make, and obviously I need to start doing that.
All right, thanks.
Thanks. All right, well, you know, that to me, guys, is why Eli Manning is a leader. And anybody who says he's not, quite frankly, is nuts. I mean, he's taken it, the responsibility, all on himself. Listen, that last play to Brandon Myers was not Eli's fault, but the bottom line is they didn't get the job done. And listen, he's making his mistakes, but he's the leader of that team, make no mistake about it.
Yeah, I mean, Eli Manning, high sense of accountability, and you hated to see him dig himself out of the early interceptions, and then what happened at the end. I mean, talk about throwing the ball 6 inches too high. Look, you know, if that was Martellus Bennett this time last year, maybe a little it doesn't matter. At the very end, the plays that were supposed to win the game didn't, and that's the story of where this team is at this point at 0-6.
Oh, how many times have we sat up on this set or even seen Eli Manning bring his team back to victory, to the Super Bowl and everything? You know the guy is capable of doing it. He's trying as hard as you can. You see what he's saying in the press conference. This is a man that's hurting. He's trying to put this whole team on his shoulders. And, you know, they had a chance to win this football game in one errant throw and another interception. But, you know, you talk about, is he trying too hard? Is he doing all? You know what? Eli is going to try as hard. It doesn't matter if he's 6-0 or 0-6. He's still going to play the same way and still going to take accountability for his team on his shoulders. But unfortunately, it's not working. And now these guys have got to go back to the drawing board and go to Minnesota next Monday night. The good thing about a short week, guys, is you get 11 days off now to go back and get some work.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's a big difference, though, now for Eli Manning and the Giants, because at 0-6, now pretty much they are playing for priority. At 0-5, they were still allowed to dream about the postseason, but right now, I mean, now it's more like a nightmare. All right, we've got to take care of some business. Make sure you go to Adorama.com/Giants to win yourself a Canon EOS Rebel SL1D SLR camera and lens. Boy, that is a mouthful, isn't it? Adorama, the official electronics retailer of the Giants. You are watching Giants Post Game Live here on My9. Lots more coming up, so stay right where you are.
Sure, you guys ran the ball well today, over 100 yards as a team. That's a season high. How'd it feel good for you to be a part of that?
It felt great. It felt great just coming out here and helping this team out the best way I can. You know, hopefully we can figure it out here soon and get ourselves a win under our belt. So,
what is the key to getting that running game going? Because you certainly did have it going tonight.
You know, everybody just working in unison, the offensive line firing off the ball, me doing my job, and the running backs running hard. It's just everybody working in unison.
And when you get that big guy, Brandon Jacobs, behind you, he had 2 touchdowns. That's got to energize the offense.
Oh, absolutely. It helps my job out a lot when you have a powerful back like that running behind you.
John Connor, thank you.
No problem.
Well, John, you've only been here about a week, but this might have been the best Giants linebacker game that I've seen this season. How'd you grade your performance?
Far from perfect. You know, some plays I wish I could have had in that game. But let's try to go out and do my job, you know, and play hard. It's unfortunate, man, but I think we're moving in the right direction.
We've heard that you're a smart player. How easy was the system to pick up?
You know what? The terminology is very different. I've had 4 coordinators, but it's pretty complex. But, got with Coach, man. We got me coached up, and, you know, I try to go out and do the best I can.
John Beeson, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Okay, let's go back to you guys.
All right, Paul, thank you very much. I thought Beeson was good acquisition, and he looked very good tonight. He made that linebacking core look very much improved this evening.
Yeah, I met him earlier this week, and I was with Harry Carson. And I remember him shaking Harry Carson's hand, like, oh, great to meet you. It's great to be here. But, no, what he's going to do for this team is going to be tremendous. I mean, the plays that you saw him making, the speed at the linebacker position, Beeson is definitely a guy that's going to get it done this year.
He's a smart guy because he went to the University of Miami, by the way. But,
remember, you went there too, so.
Well, then no wonder, right? Yeah. So, but he had 11 tackles, led the team in tackles tonight, and not only that, but he brings leadership to that position, something that hasn't been there all season. The other aspect that Perry Fuel was saying to the media earlier the week is they like his interior speed, and you had just mentioned how fast he is.
Right.
He can get downhill and get to the ball quickly, and he knows where the ball is and he knows where he has to be, and that equates to being a smart football player and making 11 tackles tonight as he did.
All right, one thing I like to address, and the three of us reacted as soon as we heard it at one point during tonight's telecast, a big deal was made, like earth-shattering news, that Tom Coughlin will get the chance to decide his own future. I mean, that's as earth-shattering because tomorrow's going to be Friday, and the next game is going to be Saturday, and next one's going to be Sunday. I mean, really. I mean, Tom Coughlin's not going anyplace until he wants to go someplace, and that's not anytime soon.
Well, I think that's an attempt of the national media to create this hot seat. You know, I mean, a team's 0-6. If this was, and let's be honest, if this was Jaguars, the Browns, or there's just some other teams, other organizations, nothing against those teams. You know, those coaches traditionally have been in the hot seat, but what Tom Coughlin has done, the body of work over 10 years, the leadership, the sustainability, you know, the offense, having the same quarterback, having that core, it's not all on Coughlin, the record for this team, but he takes responsibility for
that's
it. And that's what you don't have around the league.
Well, that's
guys
why
taking responsibility for what's going on.
That's why he's a two-time Super Bowl winning championship winning coach.
Absolutely. And, you know, we know being around this area and the media that we're part of these days that they don't. The Giants don't fire their coaches in the middle of the season. They're not going to fire Tom Coughlin because they're 0-6. But what they are going to do is they're going to encourage him to get his players and his coaches to play well and go into the rest of the season. They still have 10 games, folks, left to play. So Tom Coughlin will be that coach. Look at me talking like I'm the general manager, but, you know, the fact is that he has to get those guys ready to play football and continue to do the things and prepare. And I tell you, I played for him for 6 years. I know he will have those guys prepared, and he will do the best job he can. It's just up to the players to do what they have to do on the field.
Yeah, and just quickly, I mean, is this team capable of winning 8 out of their last 10? Absolutely.
The way they played tonight, they certainly can.
They've gotten better each week. It just hasn't resulted in W's.
8 out of 10. Let's get to 1 first. Right? Let's get.
Gotta win 1 to get to 8.
You gotta get 1 to get to 2. All right. I'm Russ Salzberg, along with my colleagues Roman Omen, Jeff Eagles. You're watching Giants Post Game Live here on My9. Hey, if you don't laugh, folks, you cry. Stay with us. We got a lot more coming up.
Verizon Fios, making life more entertaining with America's fastest, most reliable internet.
Everybody, welcome back to Giants Post Game Live here on My9. Once again, a final score from Chicago, just in case you're just tuning in. Giants on the wrong end of a 27-21 score. They fall to 0-6 for the first time since 1976. One guy I like to have on my team, and that's not knocking the Giants receivers, is one Brandon Marshall. Talk about the whole package. He's got a pair of meat hooks, boy. I mean, he can pull it in and do something with the ball.
Well, he's got height. He's got speed. He's got green shoes, which he'll be fine for tomorrow. But the fact that him and Jay Cutler, they have the chemistry. They were both together at Denver, as we all know, and now they come over here to Chicago. But I'll tell you, he's getting double teamed and still making plays like this. Now, the Giants did not double team him tonight. They had Prince on him all evening. But Jeffrey, the other guy on the other side, catches just as many balls and more yards, but he had an outstanding evening tonight. Brandon Marshall, tough guy to cover, and has that back shoulder throw catch combination that we were talking about earlier in the game, which is difficult to defend.
Yeah, and also, you know, what makes Brandon Marshall good, especially this year in this offense, is that he's really matured as an NFL receiver, Russ. I mean, he had a little bit of a hot head early in his career, had some issues. But, you know, back with Jay Cutler, obviously, and with the new head coach Mark Trestman in Chicago, he's really matured. I mean, but just physically, you know, where he catches the ball, I mean, he's really become a good clutch receiver and a good possession receiver, along with the speed that he's always had during his career. So he did a good job today. We can't put that down.
Jeff, you were talking about balance, you know, a little while ago, and, you know, running and passing. Also, balance among the receivers. Randall, 3 catches, 75 yards. Knicks, 4 catches, 70. Cruz, 4 catches, 68. That was, you know.
Well, it was important for that offense today to do that because they were able to run the football, which they haven't been able to do, which when you were able to run the football, you're able to set up pass, play-action pass. And that gives Eli the ability to spread the ball around to 3 receivers for almost each of them almost 70 yards. So there's your balanced offense. And I know, looking at the statistics, they ran the ball 26 times. They threw the ball 26 times. If you want any more balance than that, I don't know where you're going to go for it, Russ, because yeah, that's pretty balanced.
Now, also, though, on the flip side for Mr. Randall, and I think he is an enormous talent. I really do. But he's still young, and he makes mistakes. 2 of them was when, You know, he put the ball down where fortunately it was ruled he gave himself up. And the first, the interception,
yeah, the wrong route or whatever.
And then, I mean, let's go back to last week. He had some drops early in that Philadelphia Eagles
game.
And then made up for it later. I mean, we saw Mario Manningham go through this same thing. That third receiver, he worked hard a lot in the offseason. I mean, he's had to mature a little bit. I mean, with that relationship with him and Eli Manning, it hasn't translated as much as everyone thought that it would have. I mean, you got to remember, you had Cruz with the contract situation. Hakeem Nicks was injured a lot in the offseason. So, Reuben Randle had a lot of one-on-one time in the OTAs, training camp, mini camp with Eli Manning. So you think as a third receiver, he was projected to be a 60-catch, 900, you know, I'm not a fantasy person, but he was projected to have some high numbers, and he will still have that production. But, again, he's an integral part of this offense. For it to work, when it's thrown to him, he's got to catch it. He's got to make those plays.
All right, a very integral part of the offense tonight, though, as we were saying, was Brandon Jacobs, 22 carries, 106 yards. Paul Dottino caught up with him coming off the field.
Brandon Jacobs, 22 carries for just over 100-plus yards. I know it's disappointing to lose, and I know you feel it, but, boy, you had to be satisfied with your performance.
I mean, I was. I felt like I could have done a little bit more. I had a lot of missed opportunities out there as well that I was on the wrong read or caught trying to do too much. But at the end of the day, you know, we took another loss, and everyone's pride is hurt. So until we get wins, you know, like a lot of it doesn't mean anything.
Brandon, you've been here a long time. You've seen Eli pull out these games so often before. For you guys not to pull it out on the final drive, how surprising is it?
Well, you know, it's we don't have a lot of things going our way right now, and whatever this dark cloud is or voodoo, whatever someone's got placed over us right now, because I think we're playing good football, and I think we're playing it together, and you know, it was definitely disappointing, but, you know, us as a whole, as an offense, you know, we all should have got the job done. You know, yes, Eli's a quarterback, and we look at him to lead, but everybody else got to do their parts.
What do you think the feeling is amongst this team right now at 0-6? Is it anger? Is it frustration? Is it disgust? Is it helplessness? What adjective would you use to describe it, and what feeling should there be in that locker room?
Every one of those words you just said, you know. We know we got a great football team. We know we got great coaches. It's just whatever this cloud is, it just must leave. And we keep hanging in there week in and week out, as we're going to do. We're going to try to, you know, we're going to keep trying. We're going to go to work until the work is done. You know, we're going to keep pushing as a team and, you know, just sticking together.
The one thing I can say, Brandon, is I was on the sideline and I saw what you guys were doing for four quarters. There was fight, there was energy, and there's no question in my mind that despite some people who want to call for the coach's head, you guys are playing for him. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Coach Conklin? There's not another coach in the National Football League I love more than that man. I look up to, you know, and now granted, I've only played for one other one, but as far as looking up to Coach Coughlin, man, he's a hell of a guy. He's a hell of a father. He's a hell of a grandfather. He's a hell of a man, and I look up to him, you know, with everything I got.
Brandon Jacobs, thanks for stepping by.
Thank you, Tino.
Okay, guys, let's go back to you.
Well said, Brandon Jacobs. Also, Brandon Jacobs, I think, nailed it. It's about voodoo and dark clouds, and got to get rid of that real soon. All right. Giants Post Game Live, that's what you're watching, folks, and it's brought to you by the Children's Place, the official kids fashion partner of the New York Giants. Stay right where you are. We're going to have Terrell Thomas coming up and much more. Again, it's Giants Post Game Live here on My9. Welcome back to Giants Post Game Live here on My9. A couple other issues. You know, I thought the play of Bear Pascoe was much improved tonight. I thought some of his blocking was better. And also, I mean, he was dragging some people, too, which we weren't seeing. I think the overall tight end play for the Giants has been poor, you know, up until tonight. And then it ended with a bad one by Brandon Myers.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Russ. I think Bear Pascoe specifically today, and you know, played a good, solid physical game, and that's why he's here. I mean, he didn't have the billing of or Martellus Bennett or, you know, some of the better tight ends in the league. And that's okay. And you don't need that to win a National Football League. But you just need to do your job. I mean, go back a few weeks ago to Kansas City. There was a sack that Eli got, the pocket collapse. You know, he misses a block. He's kind of standing there. And I'm like, where's the physicality of just getting in front of your defender? But today you saw some catches where he's just dragging defenders down, was just fighting to get an extra yard. I mean, he's a blue-collar guy. I mean, and that's a part of what made this team great. And it was good to see that and hope we could see that, Jeff, you know, for the remainder of the season.
Well, it's good to see because the way that physicality, that's something we haven't seen a tight end this year. You know, last year we saw it in Bennett, but this year we haven't seen it at all. And Bear Pask is a tight end. They need him on the line. He does a good job at blocking. And in addition to John Connor, who was here, signed 3 weeks ago, got some action in the game today. So they're able to put him in the backfield and put Bear Pask in his original position, which is the tight end, blocking tight end, and make some plays down the field catching the football.
How about going back to early in the game when it was 4th and 2 and the Bears chose to go for it, which, you know, I thought was a mistake. I mean, Marshall dropped the ball, but I just thought that was a mistake. Were they also just showing no respect for the Giants at that point, or was it just logic by the head coach, let's go for it early in the game? Because I thought you needed to put 3 points up on the board.
It's funny you said that. You go back to the other game when Cruz, remember Victor Cruz said he should have gone for it on 4th and 1. But
yeah, but that was from your own third.
Yeah, exactly.
This is
but,
different.
But I think it's really a confidence thing, and you just create a turnover. Offense is going in. You want to punch in. You want to score now. You want to score early. So it wasn't a disrespect to the Giants because they were 31st in pass defense or whatever, but so when you're hot offensively and you have a chance to score, especially early in the game, it's something they thought they could have recovered from. So, I mean, good for the Giants. I mean, Brandon Marshall missed drops a touchdown pass, or else the game might have been out of hand a little bit sooner and the Giants don't have a chance to win at the end.
Well, to me, if you I kicked the field goal there, and if the Giants had done what they were trying to do and go down in the fourth quarter and score that touchdown to the end of the game, now the Bears are kicking themselves for not kicking that field goal, because then the Bears would have still been up in the football game. So those things can come back to haunt you. You know, if I'm the coach in the National Football League one day, I'm kicking the field goal in the first quarter.
And I'll be your special teams coordinator.
You got it.
All right.
You got
we know, big guy, you're going on the O-line. All right. You're watching Giants Post Game Live. Here are my nine. Russ Salzberg along with Roman Oman, Jeff Eagles. Stay right where you are. We're coming back. Giants Post Game Live, everybody. I am Russ Salzberg. What do you say we go back to Chicago? Paul Dottino caught up with Double T Terrell Thomas.
Thank you for stopping by. And, you know, you wound up starting outside on the corner spot, not in the slot, not in the nickel. They didn't limit your reps. How do you feel coming out of this? Because this was another big hurdle in your comeback.
I mean, it doesn't matter. We're 0-6 at the end of the day, you know. Preparing myself for the season. And whatever coaches ask me to do, I'll be able to do. But 0-6, you know, self-accolades, self-accomplishments, don't even matter.
You know, it looked as though they were looking for the short game and the medium range game. I think I only had them down for one completion of over 20 yards tonight. Is that what you expected, and how frustrating is it that they were able to dink and dunk their way down the field?
It was very frustrating, but that's a part of the game. You have to adjust, and I thought we did a great job in the second half. Thought we did a good job of battling. Could have created some more turnovers, gave our offense a couple more opportunities. We played good defense, but not enough, you know. It's just not good enough. You know, we gave too many points in the first half, and we're getting better, but, you know, who cares? We're 0-6, and that's not the makeup of this team, and, you know, it's a tough pill to swallow.
I continue to say that as long as this team has to keep climbing uphill, you've rarely had a lead at all in any game this season. I think emotionally and mentally that's got to be extra difficult for you guys to try to pull something out when you're always looking uphill.
Definitely is. You know, our offense struggles at times, but as a team, you know, the defense will step up and give them an opportunity, got to motivate each other. And, you know, we have those times in the game, but, you know, regardless of what they're doing, we're not getting enough turnovers. You know, I think we got maybe 6 on the season. It's right. Terrible. It's through 6 games, you know. And we got to fix that, you know, because we're not, you know, handling the ball well. So we got to get more turnovers as a defense. And we can't, you know, lead a game to come down to the fourth quarter. And too many times that's happening and we're coming up short. And we got to win the game in the first half and finish in the fourth.
Well, Thomas, thank you so much for your time.
You.
Okay, guys, let's go back to you.
All right, thank you very much. And that's an example you hear from Brandon Jacobs as well and everybody else. I mean, the guys are still together. And that also is a reflection upon the coach. It's not about individual stats. It's about the bottom line is, who cares what I did today? The record is what it is, and it's winless.
Well, it's nice to see the guys, they're saying that, and they're not saying, well, you know, Brandon said, hey, you know, I felt good, but I didn't do enough to win. Terrell Thomas, it doesn't matter. We're 0-6. You know, I thought he played a really good football game today, and that defense, they only gave up 3 points in the second half to a team that was throwing the ball all over the field. So the defensive backfield did a nice job in the second half and wasn't good enough. But you're right, Russ. It's tough for these guys.
Well, read it and weep. If you take a good look at the standings, the top two, Philly and Dallas, 2-3. Washington 1-3, and it is, oh no, the Giants are 0-6. And listen, at this juncture, you're playing for pride, and let's get that one W.
Yeah, and I think for me, this boils down to the team's inability to finish. And, I mean, look at the drives, you know, 10 plays for 80 yards, 7 plays for 80 yards. I think 9 plays, 91 yards was their third drive, but just the inability to finish at the end of the season, and Paul Dottino just said it. This defense has never had to play with a 10, a 14-point lead. I mean, last week, for 2 minutes and 45 seconds, this team was leading the Eagles, I think 22-19 or 21-19. I mean, the whole season.
21-19.
Yeah, 2 minutes and 45 seconds is the time this team's had a lead. So they've got to be able to finish. I mean, the defense has put this team in a position offensively. 3 and outs, okay, now go do something with the ball. Then they punt. 3 and out, go do something with the ball. They punt. So you got to be able to finish. They are playing hard. They are playing for Coach Coughlin. They are playing together. But you've got to finish. And I mean, this is the National Football League. Everybody wants to win. Everyone's getting better. So, but they just have to finish.
One thing they're playing for is they're playing for their jobs. And a lot, I've been on some bad teams. And what happens when you're 0-6, you come out and you start saying to yourself, all right, what are we going to do as a team? And guys start saying, what am I going to do as a player? Am I going to be around here next year? Is it my contract year? Those are the things you got to start to look at in the locker room and start to understand that this is what people are going to start thinking.
100%.
And so that's what's tough about a locker room when you're 0-6.
Well, hopefully they get to 1-6 next week. Next week will be Monday night, October 21st. That is the next game. Game time will be 8:40. It will take place over at MetLife Stadium when the Minnesota Vikings come into town to face, unfortunately, as I said, the winless Giants. And listen, it can't get much worse than this. And then again, remember, as soon as that game is over, and hopefully we'll be able to talk about another on a Giants post-game show live here on My Nine, the very first Giants victory of the season. Can't get much worse, folks. There was improvement tonight, but they did improve enough. Again, I'm Russ Salzberg, along with Roman Oldman, Jeff Eagles. You are watching Giants post-game live here on My Nine. We will see you on the 21st.